beverage director for all of his properties, Ramon Narvaez, right? Am I saying that right?
Narvaez,
am I saying it correctly? Thank you for coming
today.
Good
morning, Ramon. Nice to see you.
Thank you. Good to see you, Chef.
Oh, right. Yes, Chef.
Hi, Nelly.
Right? Salute when we say that. Now, let's talk about who's in today. Now, first and foremost, if you don't know, you should know, Sips and Sops is coming up next weekend. This is an annual event. We talk about it every year. And who comes in every year to tell us all about it? But famed cookbook author Joan Nathan. So Joan is in, and she brought with her this year Mike Curtin, who is the head of DC Central Kitchen, which we've talked about a lot over the years, but there's so much going on there, and Mike is going to fill us in on all of that. You want to introduce our guests after that? You want to tell us who else is coming on?
So we also have, Michael from...
No,
where am I going here?
You're supposed to talk about Christophe and Michelle Pateau.
Okay. How can I forget? I thought I was supposed to put Michael, my buddy from Richmond I just met.
Right.
Anyway, we have Christophe here, and Michelle Pateau from Virginia that are going to be talking about their restaurant and their new revamp restaurant that they're doing.
It's opening this week.
And it's opening this week, and we're excited to hear all about that.
Absolutely. Okay, so the Underground Kitchen in Richmond has been called, the most exclusive dining ticket in town. Now, the Underground Kitchen's co-founder, Michael Sparks, he's here in studio. He is bringing pop-ups to the D.C. area. So before you roll your eyes, because it feels like pop-ups is just sort of this trend word that everybody's using, he's really doing something different, and he's going to tell us all about it later in the show. All right, Robert, I would really like you to give Ramon a nice introduction and explain who he is and what he means to you in your little world.
So Ramon and I go way, way back. Ramon's been with me almost 16 years. He left for a little hiatus and went to go work for Alain Ducasse about 3 years ago.
He's such a name dropper.
But yeah, so Ramon's my corporate food and my corporate beverage manager of the entire company. So he is responsible for anything that you drink, anything from water, tea, spirits, wine, anything that you're going to sip on, we could say. And his extensive knowledge of wine, especially over the years of traveling to France on so many occasions and going to the West Coast and going everywhere just to learn and meet all the winemakers, is just an unbelievable experience to be able to do. Because when you're talking about wines now in restaurants, you have to have credibility.
Mm-hmm.
And, when you go to a restaurant and, you know, you're talking to somebody that's ordering a very expensive bottle of wine and you can actually say, oh, yes, I've been there and I know the winemaker and this is why we have it on the list. Just brings so much more credibility to the restaurant and to the guests and feel that satisfaction. So, Ramon, thank you for all your hard work. Thank you for all your drinking around the world and tasting.
Just want to make you proud.
I'm going to interrupt because what I want to know is that given your role now as a beverage director of all these different concepts that Robert has, how do you go about forming, let's start with wine menus. I mean, Marcel's is, you know, fine dining. It's sort of the last bastion of fine dining in D.C., how do you, with a very expensive wine menus, you know, really expensive wines, and then you have Brasserie Beck, which is a much more casual atmosphere. How do you go about constructing wine lists that work for each concept?
Well, every restaurant has a soul and a personality, and every concept is slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that all the guests that we have one thing in common. They all love good food, obviously, and great wine and beverage. So the key is to finding what that clientele for that location and concept will want to drink,
mm-hmm.
and then push it just a little bit and give them more options and challenge their comfort zone a little bit and say, you know, you're used to drinking XYZ, but today we're going to have you try something different.
Mm-hmm.
Marcel's obviously la creme de la creme. We have an amazing wine program that spans Burgundy, Bordeaux, Champagne, incredible selections, and then we have Brasserie Beck, which is more geared towards the American wines and a little more like what you would drink on not a daily basis necessarily, but more regularly. When you go to a muscle bar.
So on a Tuesday night. What you would drink on a Tuesday night, whereas when you're at Marcel's, you'll drink what you drink on a Saturday night.
Exactly. Or a special occasion.
And
then the muscle bars will
it.
Be geared towards beer, mm-hmm. cocktail, and fun, energetic, vibrant.
The muscle bars.
Yes.
They will not, we will not try to hold you hostage to food or wine. It's whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And just
now, are you involved in creating the cocktails?
I am.
You are. And with the, like, growing cocktail trends, you know, how do you guys fill in on that? Do you feel you have to compete with all these sort of craft cocktails, or you're just doing great cocktails?
Trends come and go. Okay. Wine, you know, beer, cocktails, they all come and go. Food, too. Mm-hmm. What you do is stay true to what you believe and what you think, you know, you do best, and do it to your maximum.
Okay.
Then you touch on the classics, and then you add a little bit of trend, too.
So what are you going to pour first?
Okay, today we're going to start with Antigone, our very special made beer. Chef, tell us about Antigone.
Well, Antigone was a beer that, I guess about 5-6 years ago now, it's been at least that long, that I developed with along with Thor Cheston. That's, you know, was my
Ray
beer
Hopper.
Sommelier.
Mm-hmm.
It's made exclusively for us in Belgium. It's a triple blonde beer or double blonde beer. Very yeasty. It's got very good overtones of coriander and orange. It's one of those beers, though. It's not your typical heavy Belgian beer.
I have
beer.
To cut you off.
Why?
Because it's time to move on.
Jesus.
As my
God
co-host,
almighty.
You are not
I
doing a good job.
I thought I was able to talk longer.
No, you're not. That's why
all right,
there are
everybody,
times.
run out and get my Antigone beer by Robert Wiedmeyer. Go
all
ahead
right.
and pour it.
While Ramon is pouring that, we are going to get into Joe Nathan and Mike Curtin, who are in. Now, Joe Nathan, as you know, she's been on the show. I think you've been on the show annually every year since we've started. So over 6 years now. She is a well-known, award-winning cookbook author, and she is behind one of the three founders of Sips and Suppers that is happening next week in D.C. Also with her is Mike Curtin, who is the head of D.C. Central Kitchen. Mike, I want to start with you. Let's just talk a little bit about D.C. Central Kitchen and what its mission is these days and what's been happening there. Thanks, Ramon.
Well, although we're doing a lot of new stuff, and first of all, thank you so much, Nikki, mm-hmm. for having us out here.
For 7 years,
for all these years. Our mission has always been and always will be to use food as a tool to strengthen bodies, empower minds, and build communities.
Mm-hmm.
And for many years, we were doing that in a very focused way by recovering a lot of food, about 2,000 to 3,000 pounds a day, food that otherwise would have gone to waste, bring it back to the kitchen, use that food to prepare now 5,000 meals every single day that we deliver to city shelters, transitional homes, halfway houses, and other partner agencies. And while we're doing that, we train men and women coming out of prison, in recovery, folks that have been victims of abuse for their whole lives, chronically unemployed, chronically homeless, train them for jobs in the hospitality business and put them in a place where they can take part in the economic discussion in our country.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do. We've been able to expand that now and move into an area where we do a lot of social enterprise work. We have a full-blown catering company. Most significantly now, we're doing locally sourced scratch-cooked school meals in 10 schools in the District of Columbia, providing another 6,300 meals a day, healthy meals,
that's
mostly
great.
In
that
areas
amazing.
That are, thank you, that are economically marginalized areas of our city.
That's incredible. And is that using the staff that you put through your program?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Right now, we've grown to a staff of 150. Mm-hmm. Almost half of those men and women are graduates of our program. These are folks that, again, were in prison, were addicted to drugs or alcohol, and are now supporting themselves, supporting their families, and ultimately breaking this destructive and generational cycle that we mm-hmm. see in our city and in cities around the country of addiction, violence, incarceration, hunger, homelessness, and ultimately poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're trying to fight here at DC Central Kitchen.
Well, thank you for that overview. I mean, it's amazing what DC Central Kitchen is doing. And Joan, now that we are, is this the seventh year of Sips?
This is the seventh year.
Sips and Sups.
Sips
it's
and Suppers.
Amazing.
The two organizations, can I put in a good word for Martha's Table
of
as
course,
well?
Of course, of course. They are a recipient too.
What they've been doing now in their healthy eating program,
mm-hmm.
You probably all saw the article in yesterday's Washington Post that 51% nationally of school children mm-hmm. have to get
public school kids.
Public school kids mm-hmm.
Have to get meals.
Our poverty level.
Right.
And
did you
it's
say
71% nationally. 71%.
It's
71% in D.C.
Yep.
So what Martha's Tables has started doing with their healthy eating program is mm-hmm. going into the schools. They started with two schools. Now they're up to 50, and they're going to 40 schools in Ward 7 and 8, providing, first of all, having shopping
mm-hmm.
At the school with food, good food.
Healthy food.
And a lot of these kids don't even know how to peel a cucumber. So they not only, their parents can buy the, get the food for free, mm-hmm. but they're taught by different people how to peel cucumbers, to make dressing, to use seasonings. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they do it at the second half of the month when there's no money coming in.
Sure.
So that with these kids going, just think about it, a third of Washington goes to sleep, kids go to sleep hungry.
That's disgraceful.
It is disgraceful.
And of course, you know, in addition, Martha's Table does McKenna's Wagon mm-hmm. Every day, 365 days a year. I went on the wagon on a different wagon.
I was going to say, wait, what?
Joan.
On a Thursday.
We should all be on the wagon.
And believe me, and when it's cold out and these people can't get anything, you really feel good that you're out there shoveling food out so that they can have a decent meal.
Well, let's talk about Sips and Suppers.
And of course, here we're talking about poverty, and we're, you know, you might as well eat well, which is Sips and Suppers.
Right.
And you're having fun, and you're helping people.
Mm-hmm.
So we started out with 12 dinners, Jose Andres, Alice Waters, and I, 7 years ago.
And again, the name dropping, but go ahead.
I know. Absolutely. Okay. We started with 12 dinners. Now we're up to 32 dinners. Mm-hmm. We have 64 chefs coming in from around the country and the world, from mm-hmm. England and France. I mean, not England. Why do I keep saying England?
You're
France
hoping,
and Italy.
England.
Nobody's going to double check.
Italy.
France and Italy. And two chefs will be cooking at people's homes on Sunday. This is mm-hmm. the supper part.
Right.
And we have a few openings still, so check up sipsandsuppers.org. Mm-hmm. And on Saturday, we have Sips, where at the museum, where there's something like 70 purveyors are going to be serving food, and there's going to be a mixologist in the elevator, and there are going to be artisans showing the act, the process of cooking. And there'll be about 800 people there. Tickets are $95
or
$200 for the VIP
okay,
tickets.
Wait, I'm going to cut you off because we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we'll give everybody all the details. Okay.
That's great.
Nikki Nellis with my new co-host, Robert
Wiedemeyer.
And we'll be back in just a sec.
Bye-bye.
The traditional light bulb, a groundbreaking invention in 1879. It's time we switch to longer-lasting Energy Star light bulbs. They're more efficient than the old bulbs, like a text message is more efficient than a carrier pigeon. And they cut down on our energy costs. Because in our own groundbreaking age, we deserve a light bulb that saves us some cash. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes, twice a day. They have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
Did you know that birthday parties help build confidence in kids?
Yeah. Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Oh, totally. Did you know that friendly kids have more friends?
Everybody knows that.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
This is Nikki Nellis. Hello, yes, we are on air. This is Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. I have my co-host, Robert Wiedemeyer, who I can't get to stop talking.
I love to talk. Come on. That's what I do all day. Tell people what to do.
And we are talking with Joe Nathan and Mike Curtin, and they are telling us about this fantastic event that's been happening annually for the last 6 years. It's in its seventh year. It's happening next weekend, Sips and Subs. And for those of you who have not gone, I've been fortunate enough to go to Sips every year. It's such a fabulous event. It's in the museum. And not only are there chefs from all over, you know, the D.C. metro area preparing foods, but there are artisans there. So there are people cutting up pieces of meat or, you know, curing meats, and there's oysters being shucked. And just to piggyback on what Joan said before our break, when she says there's a mixologist in the elevator, if you've been to the museum, they have these beautiful glass, enormous, like party room size elevators, and there are mixologists in there. So you can just ride up and down and have a couple cocktails. It's a lot of fun. So Joan, just quickly tell everybody how they can get in on Sips, and just for people who don't know what the suppers are, because these are some of the best chefs in the world,
right,
how they can get in on that as well.
Okay, well, Sips you can get in on, which is $95 a person.
$95, everybody.
Or $200 US. For the VIP room, right, where you'll get to meet some of the chefs like Charles Fan, Alice Waters, Aglaia Kermesi from Greece. Oh, Greece is another country.
Oh.
And you'll just have a lot of fun and a lot of food. And what I love about Sips is it's all ages, and it's like community. You know, mm-hmm. You see so many people that you don't ordinarily see through the years because it's on all the floors of the museum. And as far as Sups are concerned, there are 32 dinners with 20 people at each dinner.
Mm-hmm.
They range in price from $600 a person, or you can go to the Alice Waters dinner for $5,000 a person.
Okay.
And some of the chefs are David Tanis from the New York Times, Charles Fan from The Slanted Door, David Chang from Momofuku,
mm-hmm.
and all kinds of chefs, including one,
Harper McClure
from Bravo.
From Bravo.
Robert Wiedemeyer.
Okay.
So, Mike, just quickly.
And you'll have to look at sipsandsuppers.org to get to pay for them. And those are $600.
And for those out there that don't know, and you should know, Alice Waters is a legend. Okay, so if you get the opportunity to go and have dinner with her and have her cook for you in a special, intimate way, it's worth every penny. The woman has been a visionary since day one when she was talking about lunches in the schools that we serve in this country around the world forever. She was out there shaking her arms up in the air. We need change.
And at her dinner, she's cooking. David Tanis from the Times is cooking, and also Ignacio Matos from Estella is cooking. It's going to be quite a meal.
Please, because I want to get to Mike and
the money. Oh, he'll
tell us how the money helps. Perfect. These two organizations.
Sure. The proceeds from these incredible events benefit both DC Central Kitchen and Martha's Table. And what's sort of unique about this whole enterprise is that this is two nonprofits who are working very closely together to raise money, which mm-hmm. does not happen very often. And
right.
I think it's a very positive thing for our sector to see this. But it makes sense because throughout the year, every day, Martha's Table and DC Central Kitchen are collaborating and leveraging each other's resources, capabilities, expertise to create change in our city. Joan was mentioning some of the markets and cooking experiences that Martha's is doing in the D.C. schools. Many of those schools are schools where D.C. Central Kitchen prepares and serves locally sourced scratch-cooked meals. So there's the piece that we're providing for the students is supported and augmented by mm-hmm. what Martha's is doing. And then another program that D.C. Central Kitchen runs now is called Healthy Corners, where we act as a wholesaler of fresh fruits and vegetables, cut fruits and vegetables, healthy snacks, low-sodium scratch-cooked soups that we deliver to now 68 corner stores in the city's food deserts, providing opportunities and affordable access to healthy food in areas that didn't exist before. So again, these two organizations, Martha's Table, DC Central Kitchen, working together throughout the year and then capping it in this weekend of events mm-hmm. to raise money that will support those efforts for the rest of the year.
Amazing. Right. So give the website one more time.
Sipsandsuppers.org.
.org. There are so many ways to get involved. Not only can you volunteer at the dinners.
Absolutely.
You can also pay the larger prices and really donate to amazing organizations and have delicious food with amazing chefs at the same time. Or for just $95, you can participate in one of the food events of the year. So thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Robert.
Ramon, I'm going to throw back to you.
Good to see you.
We only have a couple seconds for you right now, but I see it looks like bubbly in my future. Woo! We love a little bubbles in
love
studio.
That sound. We're going to have a version of a mimosa, this time with Deep Eddy orange vodka from Texas. We're going to throw sparkling wine, Chandon, red, white, and blue, Blanc de Noir from California. And we're going to toast to Sunday Fundays and excellent. Brunches.
Love it. Okay. All right. Next up, we've got Christophe and Michelle Pateau, who are in studio today. We're really excited to have them in studio because they are in the midst of opening up not one, but two restaurants really at the same time. And they brought their little ones with us this morning. So it's going to be a little festive in studio. We're going to roll with the punches on this one. Thank you guys both for coming in.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I see you have your two little ones here. What are their names?
So we have Marie and Julien.
Okay. All right. So let's talk. I mean, Bastille has been, I've always called it a little gem of a restaurant, which it was over in Alexandria. It's been there for years now, and you guys have been running it together. And it's always been, you've always been doing something really interesting and different for that community. What made you decide to sort of uproot and do something different?
I guess I got the microphone.
Yeah. You both have mics. You both can talk.
Well, like you said, it's been eight plus years now.
Right.
We had a fun time.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to kind of grow, get to do something a little bit beyond what we've been doing.
Okay. In what way? I mean, what do you mean by that?
Well,
a bigger space? Or
it's a space issue.
Mm-hmm.
We have really been very successful, so we have a lot of demand, and we cannot accommodate for certain demands, such as a lot of people wanted to have, parties mm-hmm. and a larger group, and having an ability to offer more item or different food that is very limited for that tiny kitchen that we have.
Okay.
So building something a little better
mm-hmm.
Would allow us to do all those things, but still keeping within par with the size, human friendly, I would call it. Not a 300-seat restaurant.
Right.
Something
so how
that's
big
still
is it?
Intimate.
How big will this one be?
Yeah, go ahead.
This one is a total of 100 seats inside. So we've mm-hmm. got about 75 dining seats, 25 in the bar area, mm-hmm. and then we have another 40 seats out for our patio. Once we have the nice weather.
Right.
Not today.
That's right.
Tell me about the location, though. Where is it?
So the location is at 606 North Fayette Street. That's okay. on the corner of North Fayette and Pendleton
mm-hmm.
in Old Town Alexandria. We're about a block off of what's called Henry or Route 1 South.
Oh, okay.
But easy access in and around. We're a block and a half from the Braddock Street Metro,
mm-hmm.
Which is great. We've got bus stops all around us, and we're only five blocks from King Street.
So no, that's a great location.
It's an amazing location. So how does this help you expand your menu and allow you to do different things here?
Well, one of the biggest issues that we've always had is we've worked out of a shoebox of a kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And we've always had to simplify and keep everything very, very streamlined.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the ideas that we've had over the years, they just didn't work in that little tiny kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And so this gives us the opportunity to actually do the things that we've always put on the back burner and say, well, maybe in a bigger kitchen at another time.
Okay.
Right,
like
right.
what? Like, for example?
I can make bread now.
I can make
bread in the kitchen. It's something that I've never been able to do.
Mm-hmm.
We can make fresh pasta now because we have space to actually do it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have a lot more fun.
Yeah, basically we get to
fun.
Do a lot more things.
And expand your menu.
Yeah.
And is this going to be a brand new location? I mean, brand new kitchen, brand new everything?
We're bringing the ideas that we had originally had in the old location. We've always said we're contemporary French. And now with the newer location.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute.
1 second.
And with the newer location, we're still keeping that contemporary French idea.
Okay.
And for all of those people who knew the old location, love the old location isn't going away. It's getting transformed. And so if you like the old school, you want ode to classic French, That's what Bistro Royale is going to be.
So you'll keep that restaurant.
We are going to keep
congratulations.
It.
Congratulations.
It is currently under a minor remodeling.
Okay. What does that mean? What is minor remodeling?
Nothing major. It's actually only taking about
what, 4 days.
Yeah, it's more cosmetic than anything. We needed to refinish the floor. So, you know, they needed to do that. We're getting paint touch up. There's some seating changes happening. So it's going to look visually. You walk
Why
in
do you
similar.
Smile when you say that?
Because people are going to probably be surprised.
Oh, okay.
It's always been this just one big open dining room, and there's the bar right in the middle of the dining room, mm-hmm. and, you know, our little tiny kitchen in the back. But, yeah, the seating's going to look different. Lots more banquettes, lots more kind of that classic Parisian bistro.
So now the big question is for the two of you, since you work together, you know, chef de cuisine and pastry chef, correct, mm-hmm. Amir? Mm-hmm.
Right? Correct.
Are you going to have your own pastry shop?
Not yet. No.
Are you going to be able to be away from him and do your thing and not yell at all the cooks or stealing your stuff and your salt pads and all that stuff?
I must say that as of last night, we're doing some practice dinner with friends. And I turn around with one of my chefs to say, if you're looking for six pan, if you're looking for bowl, if you're looking for
pastry
whisk,
shop.
Just go over there to the pastry area.
I didn't steal that, and I've already sent cooks away from wanting to nibble stuff.
So you have to have a lock around it.
A
lot
right?
of people don't understand that, but, you know, especially when it's husband and wife working in the kitchen together, which can be a great thing, and also want to kill each other at the same time, I'm sure. People steal things.
I work with my husband. I know what that's
like. They steal things from pastry shops, from the kitchen back and forth, and happens a lot. So
yeah.
So when can we expect Bistro Royale to open?
Bistro Royale is slated to open January 22nd. So
okay.
This coming week, Thursday.
Okay. And your
wow.
And the new Bastille is opening?
Our official grand opening to the public live is January 26th.
Okay. So you got two opening up.
Pretty much.
Yeah, we thought the opening just one in a week was kind of like too easy, so we figured we'd do two.
Yeah.
Why not? We're already crazy.
Well,
so.
I mean, the Bistro Royale for us is just a revamp. Mm-hmm. My team has been there for years. It's still going to be there.
So we already work on the menu. It's not really
a big deal.
Okay.
I'll probably spend all day on Thursday there with them, but I'm not really too concerned. It's going to be a fairly smooth transition.
Okay.
The new space difference because... new space, new restaurant, new kitchen. There's a lot more involved.
And I understand you have a new chef de cuisine, Don's coming
right.
board with you.
Don is coming back on the board with
Used
me.
Used to work
after
with
many
Robert
years.
Wiedemeyer.
We all work with Don, so the two of us.
Don was with me for 5 years.
Right?
Yeah. Well, I worked with her for about 3+ years at the Watergate as well.
Right.
So
she's great.
She was very happy to join me.
Excellent.
That's great. So, that's going to make your life a lot easier knowing someone that's worked with you, someone that's a really
Correct.
Good cook. So that's
Absolutely.
Awesome.
All right. Please tell everybody both addresses. And
okay.
is there one website or two?
Actually, we have two. So we have Bastille's new home is 606 North Fayette Street.
Mm-hmm.
And the website for that is our original website. It's www.bastillerestaurant.com.
Okay.
Completely revamped. So please check it out. We'd love to hear comments. The other one, Bistro Royale, is at 1201 North Royal Street, our old location. And the original location.
All right.
And the website for that is www.bistroroyale.com.
Well, I want to congratulate
Bistro with a T, the French spelling.
Oh,
yes. With
yes,
the T,
right.
The
T.
B-I-S-T-R-O-T.
It's important to know.
Correct. Okay. That is correct.
Want to thank you both for joining us this morning.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. It's so exciting. This is Nikki Nellis with my co-host Robert Wiedemeyer. We'll be back in just a sec.
Let someone else take the wheel and get a real deal. With an Easy Pass Flex, all carpools with three or more occupants can travel toll-free on the new 95 Express Lanes. Plus, through Pool Rewards, qualified commuters who currently drive alone and form or join a new carpool may receive up to $230 in cash when using the new 95 Express Lanes. Qualified vanpools receive $200 per month. Some restrictions apply. Visit commuterconnections.org.
Soldiers returning with traumatic brain injuries or other serious battle wounds often spend weeks or months in a VA hospital or other rehab facility. DVDs for Vets is collecting DVDs and portable players for distribution in our community and nationwide. Many of us take for granted our access to everyday enjoyments, and DVDs for Vets needs your help in giving these injured soldiers some diversions from the monotony of a hospital stay during recovery. To donate new or used DVDs or to learn more about this worthy cause, please go to www.dvdsforvets.org.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
Be inspired at the annual Leukemia Ball presented by Pharma on Saturday, March 28, 2015. Featuring a fabulous silent auction and a chance to win one of two Mercedes-Benz automobiles, the Leukemia Ball raises funds for life-saving cancer research and patient programs provided by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. With a comedic performance by Jim Gaffigan and music by Michael Cavanaugh, guests will enjoy a night to remember. For sponsorship information or to purchase a raffle ticket, visit www.leukemiaball.org. That's leukemiaball.org.
Hey, welcome back to Foodie and the Beast. It's me, Nikki Nellis, and I'm here with my co-host for the day, Robert Wiedemeyer. We just finished speaking with Michelle and Christophe Poteau, who are opening up two new restaurants in Alexandria this week, and they are putting out a whole buffet of food. Lucky us.
I smell like I'm in a French bistro here.
That's right. So now we're going to talk to Ramon. Robert, you had a really good question that we were discussing off air for Ramon. So let's hear it.
I think one thing that a lot of people are interested in or don't know is, you know, the sommelier's position in a restaurant. And, you know, there's a lot of intimidation when the sommelier walks up to your table. So Ramon, why don't you talk about a little bit about, you know, the psychology of approaching the table as a sommelier?
It's pretty simple, and it should boil down to three important points. It's what type of food is a person having or the occasion, and then the wine that should pair. And the most important part of anything is what that person wants. Whether it's a $40 bottle of wine or a $4,000 bottle of wine, it should complement and make everybody feel very good about their choices, because it took a lot of work to get the $40, it's a lot more work to find a good $40 bottle of wine as opposed to the $4,000 bottle that is, you know, it's already understood that it's going to have some intrinsic and tangible value. So it's important to make everybody feel important.
So that $45 bottle of wine, we've tasted lots of wine to find that perfect bottle of wine. So it's actually the best value on the menu.
Don't you think people, like, I know when I go into a better dining restaurant, I mean, and I'm fortunate. I mean, I do the show, so I learn a lot about wine here. But it is a little intimidating sometimes, and you don't want to order sort of the cheapest bottle on the menu. Like, I'm so aware.
There's always the second cheapest bottle.
But you know what I'm saying. Like, I think people are, like, you could sort of see the look in the waiter's eyes sometimes. Like, okay.
Well, that should not happen. In a great restaurant, that should not happen. In fact, if someone does come in and order the least expensive bottle of wine at Marcel's, and it's for a fact, I mean, my captain or my sommelier will say, by the way, this is one of Chef Wiedemeyer's favorite wines, or one of Ramon's favorite wines, or Moez's favorite wines. And it's a great wine. It wouldn't be on the list otherwise.
Well, that's very fair. I appreciate that.
And we want to make that person feel good about that, because, you know, when you're going down that wine list and you're looking at it and going, God, I'm going to order the least expensive bottle of wine. Well, you know what? You're actually getting the best price for the best value and a great wine for that. Because we've tasted a lot of wine to get that $45 bottle of wine.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So you worked hard. You work hard to make it happen.
It's a hard work.
Appreciated.
Somebody has to do it, though.
Right, exactly. Yeah. What are you pouring next?
Next, we have a second beer. It's a double batter Carlson Dunk from Belgium. Mm-hmm. And I'll be pouring that next.
One. Okay, great. All right. I'm going to intro our next guest, Michael Sparks. He has come all the way from North Carolina, where he
Richmond.
I know you're from Richmond, but were you in North Carolina?
You were just at the beach partying it up.
Right, we got it.
Don't spill all the beans, Jesus.
Okay, so Michael Sparks is the co-founder of the Underground Kitchen. Now, this is out of Richmond, and they are doing these pop-up dinners all around, and they're coming to D.C.
We're already here, actually. We had our first event.
Oh, right. Back
In December.
That's back again this week.
Back again on Tuesday.
But we're not allowed to know where you are.
Actually, we just released it to all of our guests, so I can tell you.
So where are you going to be?
The Torpedo Factory.
In Alexandria.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, they've been awesome with
great spot.
Yeah, great spot. We have two sittings. There's one at 5:30 and the other one at 8:30.
Okay.
I think there's a few seats left for 8:30. So you can go online and take a look.
Well, tell us about the concept.
Yeah.
Explain it to us.
Oh, so there's a lot of arms here. So I have a fashion background. I was head designer for Louis Vuitton in Madrid, Spain for 10 years.
Okay.
And before that, I was an
And you didn't come with some, like, gifts?
Spain? Did you say Spain,
call my
Michael?
Mother in Madrid.
Okay. Oh, my God. Yeah. 10 years?
10 years. Yeah.
Now we know you're a late-night partier,
right,
too.
Right.
A little LV would have gone a long
way.
Well,
call
today,
my
Michael.
Mother. She has bags that she doesn't even take out of the box.
Oh, so, my God. Yeah. I'm calling her next. And, go ahead. She'll be my next guest.
There you go. And so with my sort of fashion and lifestyle sort of branding background, we moved to Richmond about 5 years ago. And we got together with a group of our neighbors, all foodies. And we wanted to give chefs an opportunity to take them out of their own environment and new, even established chefs and new chefs to cook in a controlled environment, anything they want to do in their mind. So restaurants can cook off menu to sample new ideas and new projects and give them to 40 people in an exclusive controlled environment. Now, the fashion things is that everything is designed and beautiful.
Okay.
So it's really, really comes together.
This sounds like a fun get-together and a party of just people that enjoy fashion, food, and
lifestyle.
And libations and lifestyle.
Right. That's right. It's an experience.
It's an experience. And that's right. And that's what people want nowadays. Like, and I think it's so smart, Michael, you're doing this, because people, I hate saying the word millennials, but they want an experience.
That's
right. They don't want to just go to a restaurant and just say, they want to be
Gen X.
They
want
to be,
wow,
we went to this
too,
cool place that no one knew about. It was a pop-up.
I have something even better than that, though. Listen to this. So at the last Underground Kitchen in Richmond at a place called Deco, which is an Italian restaurant, they closed down New Year's Day. So we had a Sicilian Christmas, New Year's Day dinner.
Sicilian, wow.
So it was all fish. Beautiful, beautiful. There was a couple that flew in from New York for Underground Kitchen just to experience it.
Wow.
And there was two older women in their late 60s, early 70s. Mm-hmm. They sat at the same table because you don't have a choice about who you sit with at these events. And by the end of the night, older ladies said, well, we're taking them over to the Jefferson for a drink because we had so much fun at dinner with them.
Oh, that's lovely.
This is what it's about. It's about community coming together.
Mm-hmm.
And we live in a car community where people drive and never talk to people all day.
And on their phones
all day. At Underground Kitchen, you have to talk to someone. You have to talk to people and communicate about what you do. And I see business cards flying across the table. I see people, you know, shaking hands. It's that kind of experience. You know,
so people getting to meet people that they normally would not be able to have the chance to meet.
That's right.
In a really cool environment with good food, good drinks, and fashion.
That's right. That's right.
Well, how
sounds
is the
like a fun time to me.
Yeah, but how does the fashion component, like, is there a fashion show during this?
No, darling.
Okay, tell me how
it's the setup. It's the setup.
It's just all it's the setup. It's like what you would do if you come to my house for dinner, which you're invited to anytime. You
okay,
guys.
Thank you. And then,
yeah,
I'm coming.
We're coming.
And I hope your mom's invited.
Yeah, that's right. But it's definitely the way everything from the flowers to the chairs.
But are you working with different vendors for that? How is it? Like, I want to know how this is coming together and why. I know you live in Richmond, but as your concept grows and you take it on the road,
right,
why do you stay just with Richmond? I mean, are you planning on bringing in chefs from other places?
So we're taking DC chefs to Richmond to have an experience of what owning a restaurant would be in Richmond Market.
Okay.
We're taking Richmond chefs
like
to...
Like who? Who are you taking? I'm just curious.
Oh, I can't tell you that.
Why not?
It would be Underground, darling.
Oh,
you
have
to,
okay.
You have to
okay.
Gotta be the Underground.
Gotta be Underground.
It's a surprise get together.
But we brought a very, very great Richmond chef for the first Underground Kitchen in DC. They are actually sous chefs under two famous restaurants in Richmond, and they blew it up. And on Tuesday night, we have two young guys that are just blowing it up.
So the people who are coming do not know who's cooking Tuesday night, right? It's a and how many courses is it? Like, what normally goes down?
It's 5 to 7 courses, only 40 people.
Okay.
Last year, all the proceeds after we paid for the events went to 4 nonprofits.
Mm.
We fed 5,000 families in the first quarter of last year with Feed More in Richmond. We gave money to a new modern art museum, the ICA, the Contemporary Art Museum, going into Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
We gave money to Ted Elmore, who has the bridge project. They're building a bridge over the James River in Richmond. And the other nonprofit was Art 180, where it's a after-school arts program that takes inner-city children into a gallery and they teach them art, and they leave this program saying, I'm a sculptor, I'm a painter.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I like that.
So that's what we're going to, and we're going to actually do that. It's the same sort of give money back to the community in D.C. So wherever we are, we will have a mission for that quarter to give that nonprofit money.
Excellent.
So how does one know about when the dinner comes, and how does one pay for it?
How does it all work?
I'll tell you the steps and procedures, which is really quite easy. You go to www.theundergroundkitchen.org. Mm-hmm. You register your name. We let you know when tickets are going to be available and the theme. So, for instance, the theme coming up is art and art and food. Mm-hmm. And we would tell you when the tickets go on sale. We have people in Richmond that sit by their computer. Doctors who won't take patients, lawyers who won't take meetings.
Seriously?
Who will sit by their computer.
You're like, yes.
Tickets sell out in a minute and a half or less.
Wow.
And I've gotten some like crazy emails like, this is fixed, whatever. But we let just like a concert ticket. It's just like, you know, Prince is coming to town. You know, here's the tickets. We let it rip, and in Richmond it sells out in minutes. It's been amazing.
But that's great. I think just to piggyback on what Robert is saying, I mean, so you have this base in Richmond, and they know you, and it sells out. But as you move to other cities, how will you go about educating the public? Is it strictly word of mouth?
Strictly word of mouth. Okay. We try to, you know, it's been a thing that I've been juggling, you know, about mm-hmm. PR and that sort of stuff, and I think it's great. But I think it's also, if you have a great experience at a restaurant, mm-hmm. you tell someone and someone else tells someone. It's just like, you know, Ocean Boulevard that we just got finished talking about.
Right.
I had dinner last night, which was really amazing down in Nag's Head.
Right.
You tell somebody about your experience. Mm-hmm. It grows that fast. We have right now 4,000 active members in Richmond. Mm-hmm. And we're coming up to 2,000 in D.C. after one dinner.
Wow.
So, and we plan to add on, you know, other events. And in this coming September, Richmond is bringing on the 2015 bike races, which is the qualifying races for the Tour de France.
Oh.
We're having 500,000 visitors coming to Richmond mm-hmm. who hotels are already sold out. We're going to have 9 days of UGK under a tent in a very historical place in Richmond. And it's going to be 9 different chefs for 9 different days.
Wow.
All Richmond chefs?
No.
From all over.
Are we pointing at Robert on that?
I'm going to make Robert.
So I'm excited about this. So now, where do I buy the ticket online? Mm-hmm. It's a surprise. I don't know who's coming, and how much is it going to cost me?
So in D.C., it's $175. In different markets, it varies in prices because it does cost.
Right. So the price will change depending on things.
But I also assume it also depends on what they're cooking, what they're doing.
That's right.
I mean,
whether we fly in the chef or whether the chef is local, you know.
All right, we have to take a quick break. When we come back,
that
you can tell
great, Michael.
Everybody how to sign up for this.
Yeah.
And I just also want to quickly ask you about the beverage part, because we didn't get into that at all, and I think that's probably important.
Yeah.
This is Nikki Nellis with my co-host,
Robert Wiedmeyer.
We'll be back in just a sec.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide. But only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
Hey, Mom. Why is the sky blue? Why don't animals talk? Why do dogs have wet noses? Why isn't 11 pronounced 1-T-1?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
Why do I have a belly button?
But you don't have to know every answer.
Why is the ocean salty?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
Why are there 50 states?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
Why is pizza round?
They just need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism, 1 in 68. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
And we're back. It's Nikki Nellis with my co-host Robert Wiedemeyer on Foodie and the Beast. We are talking about the underground kitchen. So, Michael, tell us, how are people going to find out about this one? How can they sign up? And just tell us quickly about the beverage part, because we've talked about these fabulous dinners and the kinds of cooks who are cooking for these dinners, but we didn't talk about the drinking at these
dinners.
That's
right. So each event is... we have a sommelier that comes in. We have a local sommelier in Richmond, and we have a national sommelier in, that travels around with us on anything outside of Richmond.
Are we allowed to know who he is?
Yeah, Booth Hardy. He owns Barrel Thief in Richmond, Virginia, which he's a great, great wine guy, local guy. Mm-hmm. We try as much as we can to support Virginia wineries.
Good. That's awesome.
Yeah,
here.
Definitely. There's some great things happening at
awesome wine coming out of wine.
Yeah,
out of Virginia.
Exactly.
Claude Thibault.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
love
yeah.
it.
Cooper.
Yeah.
Barbersville.
Yeah, yeah.
Luca,
they have a great sparkling.
Luca at the Barbersville with the Octagon.
That's right. And we also, one of our great, great supporters is First Colony. They do a port that we're serving on a Tuesday night. That
fantastic.
Is just amazing. Just was released in December.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful, so smooth, so nice.
Cool.
Yeah. And so a sommelier comes and he works with the chef on pairings.
Mm-hmm.
It's like sort of my dinner between dinners because we do a tasting and pairings.
Mm-hmm.
My partner keeps telling me if you come home drunk one more time, thank God for Uber.
Yeah. We're all agreed on Uber. Okay, so tell people lastly where they can find it.
Okay.
Give us the website,
come
please.
Come to www.theundergroundkitchen.org.
Excellent.
And register your name. And I think there's about 7 tickets left for Tuesday night.
All right, great. Everybody
Good.
Get on board.
Congratulations.
Don't miss it.
Thank you, brother.
Sounds like
true.
A great, fun experience.
Absolutely. All right. So now I'm going to turn the mic to my co-host. He's got so much going on.
I'm turning it.
Turn it to you. Now you can look at me.
I'm looking at you,
look
Nikki.
Look at me.
I've been looking at you the whole time.
No, you
Come
haven't.
On.
You've been looking the other way. You haven't looked at me once.
I've been looking at Polly.
I'm trying not to be offended. All right. Well, your wife is in studio. That's fair. Tell me what's going on with you guys. You are opening up new restaurants. You just got an incredible review. I feel like so much is going on with you. How are you keeping it all together?
I tell you, the only way I'm keeping it together and to be as humble as I can is that I've got a
Humble
phenomenal,
and Robert Wiedemeyer,
a phenomenal,
two things that I would not put together.
Phenomenal, phenomenal staff. I mean, I couldn't do any of this without the entire team at Marcel's and Ramon and Polly and all my chef de cuisines at all the restaurants that work really hard at to uphold the standards that we do at the restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian McBride, who
right.
we all know is an amazing chef who goes around to all the restaurants and just holds down fort with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I've been able to do it. It's been really just surrounding myself with really smart, passionate people about food and wine, and to just me being a visionary and saying this is what I want to do,
mm-hmm.
and working with Paul Sturman, my chef de cuisine at Marcel's, has been with me for 16 years and.
Wow.
And Adnan and Moez, and again, Ramon, who's been with me for a long time and took off for a little hiatus. But, he went to go work for Ducasse. I was okay with that, and he came back. So that's how I've been able to do it.
He doesn't hold it over you at all. He's only mentioned it a couple times.
He told me I'd be back.
When he told me he was leaving, I said, you'll be back.
Yeah.
And he came back. So that's how I've been able to do it, Nikki, is really surrounding myself with smart, good, passionate people about being in the food and beverage industry and understanding my culture.
Right.
Okay, so my culture is all about making sure, the number one thing at any restaurant, I don't care if it's McDonald's to going to Tour d'Argent in Paris, did the people walk out happy?
Mm-hmm.
Or did they grab their pocketbook and say, wow, how much money did I just spend in that place and I'm never going back?
Right, which is what which is
the death to a restaurant.
Right.
So, these are the things that we talk about during lineups and every day. It's not about me. It's not about my sous chefs. It's not about my chef de cuisines. It's not about my captains. It's about the guests. Our egos have got to be checked.
Right.
And I think that's where, we really do really well at is by the guest is number one from the time that phone rings to the time where my valet guys open the door and say, welcome to Marcel's until the time they leave and they get home and go, oh my God, that was a great experience. Hopefully so.
Right.
Because, you know, as we all know in the restaurant industry and being a chef, you know, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. And for one person to say that they don't make mistakes, you know.
I don't think anybody can say that.
I mean, they're just fooling themselves. I mean, salt in the wrong cook's hand is poison, you know. Or if, you know, you're outside waiting for your car to be pulled up 15 minutes, you know, suddenly that barometer going, we just had a great time, turns in, oh, my God, we've been waiting here an hour for our car when it was only really 15 minutes.
Right.
But 15 minutes is how it might have been the number, but the feeling, the perception is what you actually feel. And if it felt like an hour, it felt like an hour.
Well, there's a lot of expectations. People have a lot of expectations about dining out right now. I mean, first of all, it really doesn't matter where you're dining these days. It's expensive to dine out.
It's very expensive to dine out nowadays.
And you know,
that's a good point, Nick. It doesn't matter. You can go to some restaurants which you would think would not be that much money and still very good. And
it's still expensive.
And you get your bill and you go, oh, my God, I just spent $300?
Well, but it's, you know, when you start adding in cocktails and these kinds of beers like that Ramon is pouring today, I mean, these are not – you're not ordering – poor quality things. You're ordering high quality,
that's right,
and that costs more money.
That's
and I
right.
think most people come to the table knowing that, but you are choosing to spend your money, and therefore, when you're spending that kind of money, people expect something in return for that.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
And they want to walk out with that. That was worth it. Mm-hmm. That was worth the money we spent.
Well, tell me quickly what's going on at some of your restaurants, because I know Brasserie Beck just started a new initiative.
So Brasserie Beck now, I mean, when we first opened up, you know, of course, Brasserie Beck.
Two Brasserie Becks. Right?
Yeah, two Brasserie. We have the one in Kentlands,
mm-hmm.
and then we have the one downtown, 1101 K Street. Now, Brasserie Beck, when we first opened up 8 years ago, really was just like, you know, the restaurant to go drink beer mm-hmm. and go have good, you know, brasserie, you know, French brasserie food and Belgian fare. And I always closed it early. I always closed it at 11 o'clock. I used to tell Ramon and everybody, I don't want all the drunks coming in here late night, pulling on my beautiful curtains, and, you know, tearing the place up. So I'm like, you know, we'll just shut down at 11 o'clock.
Okay.
But we've decided now that, you know, we're not going to do that anymore, that we're going to let Brasserie Beck, you know, continue on later into the night. And
because
it
is kind of a festive
place. It is.
Why would you want to close that down early?
Well, my thoughts back then was, because I was a complete control freak, is that, you know, at 11 o'clock, I wanted everything shut down, everybody out of there.
Control freak?
No. Not him.
So everything wasn't being ripped up and so on, whatever. Anyway, we've changed that. So we started a late night menu. We're serving now, Ramon. What are our hours now?
Until 12 Sunday through Thursday, mm-hmm. and 1 o'clock Friday and Saturday. And we have a bar menu, and we have a happy hour that
so it's in the bar
every day at the bar. And the patio when we open in the spring, which is one of the biggest, most beautiful patios in Washington, D.C.
It's a gorgeous patio.
It's an amazing patio.
And we get the sun.
Absolutely.
Right. Which is bright important to have
and sunny.
Sure.
With great umbrellas.
You're going to be outside. You want the
sun.
Want to
be in
totally
the shade.
Agree with you. And let's also quickly talk about the Marcel redesign.
So Marcel's was redesigned. Polly, myself, Adnan, and Moaz, and Paul Sturman, and I went down there and we looked at the restaurant and we hired in a gentleman by the name of Charles Craig out of Virginia, and who's a designer. He's a home designer.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to know him because he designed our house in,
on the Eastern Shore?
Yeah, yes. Thank you, on the Eastern Shore. So, you know, I didn't want to bring in a typical restaurant designer. So I brought in Charles Craig. The restaurant's completely redone. I mm-hmm. love the way it took me 16 years to get it to where I finally wanted it to be. And I just love the look of it. And it's just right where I wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's very elegant. It's not pretentious. We got these starburst chandeliers that I was so scared when I bought them. I picked them out. I said, oh, my God, these are going to work. They work perfectly. And with between Polly and Charles and Moaz, myself and Paul, it all came together. Mm-hmm. And I'm truly, truly, truly in love with the look of the restaurant. So come down and see the new revamped Marcel's.
Okay, and Ramon, where can people find you?
They will have to text
follow
me.
Follow you or, in an Uber?
Facebook me. I only have about 1,600 people on Facebook.
Okay.
I rotate amongst all the properties, and I take pride on popping up at least at 3 restaurants a day, if not more. We're opening in Baltimore pretty soon.
Oh, where are you opening in Baltimore?
Spending time there. Chef, 1350 Lancaster Avenue.
Thank you,
what
Ramon.
What are we opening?
Hey, what would I do without you, Ramon?
We're opening up a muscle
great.
Bar.
Muscle Bar and Grill.
Okay. So, Chef, just quickly tell everybody where they can find you. Just give us the websites.
Who, me?
Okay. Polly, come up to the mic and tell everybody where they can find you.
You can find all our restaurants at rwrestaurantgroup.com.
Okay, and everything's there on that website?
Everything.
Okay, I want to thank you all for coming in today. It was a terrific show. Robert, I know how busy you are with all your restaurants and your kids and your wife and your life, but I really appreciate you coming in today and co-hosting the show with me.
Nikki, I had such a blast, and I hope the beast is feeling better.